to Science Talk with Tala Zarbi, where we delve into the world of impactful research among AUS students. Today we have an exciting guest. Abdelhamid Khoja, or Bioman as his peers call him, is a senior biology student at the American University of Sharjah. Led by Dr. Muhammad Al-Sayyah, Abdelhamid and his group were awarded the College of Arts and Sciences Undergraduate Research Grant for their project exploring self-disinfecting fabrics using carbon dots. Welcome to the podcast, Abdelhamid.
Hi, Tala. Thanks for having me.
Your research was recognized by MIT Technology Review Arabia and Al Khalid newspaper because of its innovation and impact in the field. How does this make you feel?
Honestly, when I found out that, you know, our work was published on MIT Technology Review and some of the regional newspapers here, it took me a minute because it's one of the things like you always dream about, you know, as a scientist, especially an undergraduate scientist. It's a dream to have your work have a meaningful impact. And hearing that news that, you know, our work made it on MIT Technology Review was really astounding. And when I heard that, I remember I was in class and I walked out and I messaged my parents. I'm like, Mama, Baba, check it out. I'm on MIT Technology Review. And I hold that moment very fondly in my heart.
Was it always a dream of yours to get into this field?
I think, yeah, I've always been interested in research from an early age. I remember being very curious. Almost annoyingly curious. You know, when you're a kid and you ask way too many questions and adults are like, okay, quiet. I think I was like that. And that sort of translated to when I made it to university, where I was exposed to a variety of research projects that some of the faculty members here work on. And I began to dabble here and there, and I found something that I really found interesting. And so I continued with that.
Can you tell us more about the research you conducted?
Sure. So the nature of the CAS Undergraduate Research Grant funded project was to develop nanoparticles that can be used to produce self-disinfecting fabrics. And in a nutshell, what that means is, if you remember, what did the COVID-19 global pandemic teach us? It taught us that a virus as small as nanometers can bring the whole world to a screeching halt. And so the idea is, can we develop novel antibacterial, so things that can protect us against bacteria, viruses, and the such, but on our clothes. Like right now, you and I are wearing what's probably cotton clothes, okay? And so cotton, if you look at the molecular structure of cotton, we can begin to modify that and attach these nanoparticles. When you attach these nanoparticles, you suddenly now wear clothes that can keep you clean. So that's essentially the goal with our project. And these nanoparticles are called carbon dots. And we love them because they are really easy to make in the lab, really cheap to make, and they're not toxic to humans, which is what you want. And so being able to develop these nanoparticles to produce these self-disinfecting fabrics holds tremendous industrial benefit, right? So the chairs that we're sitting on, also this mesh is made of cotton. Public seating and transport, so when you're going on a bus, the seats are probably going to contain cotton. So the idea is, okay, what if we get the solution of nanoparticles that we produced and then spray it down on top of whatever cotton-based material? Well, now you've self-disinfected that area using these nanoparticles, protecting anyone who's going to sit there after someone who may have contaminated the area would.
That's fascinating. What was your specific role within the team?
So what I love about Dr. Muhammad's research group is that it's truly multidisciplinary, meaning no one person does only one thing. We do facets, we're involved in biology, we're involved in chemistry, we're involved in material science. So the intersection between these three disciplines is what we do in the lab. My role with the rest of the wonderful team was to synthesize these nanoparticles in the lab. Then once we synthesize them, we now have to develop a technique. We have to work on ways to actually attach them to the cotton that we're talking about. So it was every stage of the process, from creating them, to attaching them, to testing them against microbes, so bacteria and viruses and whatnot. Our labs actually don't have the ability to test with viruses because it's a whole different category of safety, but we did test with common bacteria that you find all around you. And the results, as reported by the MIT Technology Review paper article, were very, very positive. So moving forward, we're hoping to continue with this, with our research.
Hopefully, yeah. It's like making a huge difference. How does this recognition fuel your future plans?
So moving forward, I hope to continue doing more research. I'm going to probably pivot away from the research that I'm doing now, because as a researcher, your goals are constantly developing. You find new problems that you want to tackle, and that's just part of the dynamic nature that is the, you know, research. So now I'm really interested in tackling the problems that have to do with drug discovery. So Panadol, take Panadol. When you have a headache, Most people just go to their cupboard, they take, you know, two Panadols or whatever it is, without minding how Panadol came to be. Panadol took a really long time to develop. It went from extracting the compound to testing on humans. So it took anywhere from, or let me be more general here, the drug discovery process takes like 5 to 15 years and billions of dollars. Like we're talking $3-4 billion. And at the end of it, you may not have a drug that's safe in humans. So the idea is, can we shorten this timeline to bring more safer drugs to the market? And there's so many fascinating techniques that scientists are using now, be it using computers, because computers are really amazing, because you can just give a computer a set of conditions, be like, hey, we want the drug to follow this, 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 and it can give you an indication, be like, hey, you might want to explore this particular drug or this particular target. So these are things that really fascinate me, because there's so much about biology that we don't know yet. There's so much that we'll take certain concepts in class now, and, you know, I'll ask the professor, be like, well, why does this particular thing happen? And they'll be like, we really don't know, because we don't have either the technology now to study these things in detail, or not enough research has been put into it. So moving forward, these are the things that I hope to continue studying and researching.
After graduation, what are your next steps to continue your research with the fascinating topic of drugs?
So obviously after graduation, I'm gonna sleep. I really am just exhausted. But obviously, jokes aside, after that, I'm very likely going to continue some of the research projects that we have going on here in the labs at AUS. And then from there, I want to apply to graduate schools and surround myself with leading experts in the field of drug discovery and development, because it's, again, it's such a multidisciplinary field in the sense that it's not just biology, it's not just chemistry, it's not just math, it's not just computer science, it's not just physics. It's the merger of all of these. It's a really, really interdisciplinary field that you just need to surround yourself with the experts, you know, the pharmaceutical scientists, the synthetic chemists, the medicinal chemists, the computational biologists, the computational chemists, surrounding yourself with these people. Again, it's a group effort. You know, each person contributes to something to develop a drug. I hope to surround myself with people like that in the form of, you know, joining labs that specialize in this work.
Abdelhamid, do you have any final thoughts to share with your audience?
Just one final thing in terms of motivating any undergraduate students listening to this podcast. It's to always believe in the power of your ideas and always just approach a professor if you have an idea. I mean, or if you don't have an idea and you're just interested in the work that a professor does, irrespective of your field, because research is a fundamental component of biology, chemistry, MCM, in international studies, and so on and so forth. People make that mistake, oh, it's only the basic sciences or it's only engineering. So if you're interested in the work that a professor does, believe in the power of your ideas, be confident enough to approach them, be like, hey, professor, I have an idea, or hey, professor, I have no ideas, but I love what you're doing. I'm hoping I can be a part of that journey. And you'd be surprised that most professors are looking to mentor undergraduate students. I mean, Dr. Muhammad, I consider him a really close mentor. I mean, I'm at a stage now where I can go to him for questions about research and outside of research, about like professional development, about graduate schools, about, you know, future career paths. So I think it's really important to have a mentor like this during your undergraduate studies, because it really shapes you as a person. You become well-rounded. And I mean, who knows? I approached Dr. Muhammad. I was just like, hey, I have no ideas. You sound like you're doing cool work. Can we apply for a grant? And here I am. We have a grant, 2, 3, actually. And yeah, I would have never imagined this had I not taken that initial step to approach Dr. Muhammad. And I'm really, really, really happy that I actually followed through with that, and super thankful to the team that's made this wonderful journey possible.
It's great to see fellow students succeed in research in CAS. So it was great having you. Thank you for joining the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Of course.